This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and it's time for our latest edition of Unlicensed Opinion on Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his home is Christopher Spencer. Christopher, welcome.
Hello, how are you? Yes, I am snowbound in a field of white.
And with me on the phone from his office is Drew Michaels, who's a meteorologist for 4029. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Glad to talk with both of you.
This is airing on Monday, but we're talking on Wednesday when temperatures in northwest Arkansas haven't crept above 10 degrees, and we're coming off a significant weather development. Christopher and I had already talked about spending some time talking about the challenges of weather forecasting, Drew, and I guess it is no more evident the challenges of forecasting when you have something like this moving half a continent away, closer and closer, and people want to know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny when we take a look at our computer models, which obviously gives us a guide at, you know, how the weather's changing, and it's not gospel. It's something that, you know, you definitely have to take in a lot of different factors. But as we watch these storms, you know, thousands of miles away as they come through, until they really hit the United States where we get weather balloon data, it's kind of anyone's guess. So, you know, when we talk about stuff, especially on the weather blog, you know, a week or even 10 days in advance, you know, people will always ask, well, how much snow are we going to get here? Or, you know, is this going to be huge? And you always say, well, listen, let me caution you by saying, this is going to change. It definitely, you know, is going to evolve in some way. But right now, as we see it, it's looking like this. And then, of course, you know, a couple of days later, it may have totally changed its tune, or maybe it stays on track. So I think, you know, one of the challenges, you know, when you're forecasting is just being honest with your viewers and then folks, you know, reading, you know, whether it comes to your website or your weather blog, and just letting them know, you know, this is subject to change, this is how we see it now. And I think if you preface that and you let people know ahead of time, they're pretty forgiving, and they realize and say, yeah, I mean, things are going to change, and yeah, we trust you guys to, you know, kind of let us know.
I was looking over the weather blog for the most recent weather event.
Yeah.
And one of the headlines for your post was 18Z NAM update.
Right.
And I got 130 comments on it. I'm just saying, that's a headline you wouldn't normally expect. It implies some amount of knowledge about what you're even talking about there.
Yeah.
What is the 18Z NAM?
Okay, the one of our models that we use is the NAM model, the NAM. Mm. And some people say NAM, NAM, potato, potato. But the 18Z is one of the runs that's 18Z is typically noon. So you'll have a run that's 6 a.m., noon, 6 p.m., midnight, and then back at 6 a.m. again. So as you look at these storms that come through, we typically have about four times during the day where our models are updating, and we kind of take a look at the latest data. So what happens is you got some weather nerds and weather geeks on there, which I am. I'm not making fun of them because, you know, that's part of the game. And some of these guys and girls, you know, will be on there watching and say, okay, well, when's the next update coming? You say, okay, it's coming now. And so what we've been doing at times is every time there was an update, you know, from the model, like the 18Z or the 0Z or 12Z or 6Z, and that's all Zulu time. That's kind of our ways of differentiating the different models. But what gets people going is, yeah, they'll look at that and they'll read the text, you know, beyond. And some of it's technical. Some of it we try to, you know, dumb down so everyone can understand. So, you know, everyone has some semblance of what's going on. But once people start posting the comments, that really starts the chain. You know, the chain reaction where someone comments here, or I think this, or, oh, what do you think about this? And it just steamrolls. And sometimes you'll get, you know, 100-some comments on there. And, I mean, you'll spend a couple of hours at a time just answering comments and trying to answer people.
Well, so many of the comments, especially as it gets closer to a winter storm, it's almost people asking for advice. I'm supposed to fly out of the airport tomorrow. Should I pay extra money and fly out today?
I know. Some of the questions, and you know, we will get those questions too. You'll get phone calls in the Weather Center or sometimes emails. Thankfully, the blog has actually cut down on the amount of emails we get, but it can be difficult, you know, because in the end, all this is subject to change, and the last thing I want to do is tell someone, yeah, you're going to be okay, and then your flight, you know, gets canceled and, you know, you lose a job or something like that. And a lot of people think you go on TV or you write something and, okay, that's just it. And it's so far from the truth. I mean, we, as our weather team, and I can only comment really for, you know, for our team, but we really – we take it seriously because we have families and we have friends and they're all asking the same questions. And if we're wrong, and at times we are, I'll be the first to admit it. Guess what? We're gonna hear about it big time. So,
well, I wonder, you know, when I was growing up, most television weathermen were not meteorologists.
Right.
They were maybe former DJs or people who look good or could carry themselves off well.
Sure.
And they'd read, you know, National Weather Service copy.
Yep.
And that seemed to do us fine. We have moved into a totally different era now.
Yep. I think the, and I don't know exactly when it started. I've been in the business now for 9 years, but the chief that hired me here, a guy by the name of Charles Salser, and I know a lot of people, you know, recognize that name. Charles is a great mentor to me. And Charles, I mean, his rule of thumb here when he hired people was we only hire degreed meteorologists, you know, people who have gone through a four-year program, you know, at an accredited university who, you know, who have done the schooling. Now, what's happened is there's a Mississippi State, which is, you know, an SEC school. They have done a certificate program for, you know, journalists or reporters that think that they want to kind of try their hand in meteorology, where they can do a correspondence course. And so technically you have other people out there. You'll have degreed people, then you'll have certificate people, and then you'll hear of just forecasters. And when you ever hear, you know, forecaster, typically they don't have the schooling. That's kind of the way they, you know, they go about. But really to answer your, you know, your question or to really to comment on it, it's changed. And the people who are coming out of school with degrees, they're more marketable and they have a better chance of, you know, of landing, you know, landing a decent job.
And I guess you take, with your degree, you're able to take these three different models at least that you're looking at.
Sure.
And somehow ascertain probabilities and,
yep,
and judge things there as best you can.
Yeah, that's right. I like to, when I go to schools and talk, you know, I say they're computers. You know, are computers always right? No, because humans program it. You know, I mean, there's always error in there, and it's just a guide. You know, we could type in MapQuest or something like that and maybe have a couple of different routes, you know, to get to a certain place. And that's kind of what we do. We have a couple of different routes, and we have to use our experience and our knowledge, and a lot of it's experience. You know, being an operational forecaster, and that's what I do each day, looking at the computer models and forecasting and learning what's real and what's not real. You know, the model may be spitting out something that's totally bogus, and if you take the bait, your forecast is going to be wrong, and, you know, and obviously it's not going to be good. And it's happened. It happens to all of us. It's happened to me, you know, many times, and you just kind of learn from it. So, but the technology that's out there now, I mean, think about it. We've been talking about this winter storm that just came through since Thursday before the storm. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So people literally had 5 days and at least having an idea of 5 days ahead of what to expect. And that to me is the greatest part.
Do you keep track, do you and your colleagues at other TV stations in the markets, do you keep an eye on each other and say, mm-hmm, he nailed it, or, oh, wow,
yep,
they didn't get it?
Yep. I've got three TVs in my weather center, and I don't sit here, you know, with my feet propped up watching the boob tube all day. In fact, I'd rather listen to internet radio than actually watch TV, which is probably sacrilegious for me to say. But I've got our station on, KNWA on, and then KFSM. So when the newscasts are on, you know, you can kind of glance over and say, oh, he's going 2 to 4 inches there, and you know, we're going 5 to 6, or, wow, he's going 7 to 8, or, you know, whatever it may be. So, yeah, we all kind of keep tabs, and there's not really a whole lot of interaction. It's not like I'm going to call up, you know, Garrett and say, hey, Garrett, what are you going for this? What, you know, I mean, it's like insider trading. You know, it's not something that, you know, you're going to do. Although I'm friends with those folks when it comes to, you know, the events and the forecasting, business is business. And that's kind of the way it is.
All right, Drew, we're almost out of time. One last question. What's the toughest thing to forecast?
I would honestly say ice, you know, freezing rain. And this is a classic example of this last event. Ross and I, when we were really putting together this forecast, and he and I would talk a couple times a day. So there's a lot of communication going on within the, you know, within the office. But, you know, just quickly, sleet versus, you know, versus the freezing rain, we thought there would be more freezing rain with this last event. Thankfully, it was more sleet, which, you know, nobody's complaining about. But freezing rain, it's so difficult to forecast, especially when you're talking about ice accumulations. You know, snowfall, if it's all cold, we do a pretty good job with that. Severe weather, we pretty much know when that comes through. But winter weather is a challenge. Freezing rain, ice is probably the top.
All right. People can find it at 4029tv.com/weatherblog, or just put 4029 weatherblog into a search engine and it'll take you there.
You bet.
Hey, Drew, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys, and I appreciate talking with me.
Drew Michaels is the chief meteorologist for Channels 4029. He talked with us on Wednesday. By the way, he also told us that the 4029 weather blog is close to 1 million independent views. And just one day last week, as that winter storm was approaching, there were 60,000 unique views to the blog. There's much more from our conversation, including an answer to the question, why even blog about the weather? That's at our website, OzarksAtLarge.com. And in a moment, Christopher Spencer from OzarksUnbound.com and I will be back for our weekly Plug or Predict segment, and we'll check in on his prediction from last week. That's just ahead on Ozarks at Large.
I love the winter weather because the two of us can get together. There's nothing sweeter, finer when it's nice and cold. I can hold to me, collecting all the kisses that are due me. I love the winter weather because I've got my love to keep me warm.
And we are back. It's time for the segment of Unlicensed Opinion that we call Plug or Predict. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Christopher Spencer from OzarksUnbound.com. Again, because of scheduling, we're actually taping this on Wednesday, even though we're on the air on Monday. But we do know that your prediction last week, Christopher, paid off.
Well, today's Groundhog Day, you know.
Yes.
And yes. Phil came out of his burrow, and he did not see his shadow. So therefore, you know, there may be snow on the ground now, but winter is going to end sooner rather than later because that is always correct and has never been wrong.
So we can confirm that your prediction was right about the prediction, but I really don't know how you ever decide that, you know, winter ended sooner than it would have otherwise.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area there. And I have to admit, when it comes to predictions, it was maybe a little bit of a cop-out because it was kind of a 50-50, right?
Well,
so it was like a roulette table?
I was going to say, and if
black or red.
If you lose at roulette, you don't get your money back, even though it was a 50-50. Do you have something to plug this week?
Normally, tomorrow would be the night where Much of Fable and Beyond turns out to First Thursday up on the square. However, because of the snow, they are postponing the Fable Underground portion till next Thursday. So First Thursday will actually be Second Thursday.
Well, now
just to
confuse things a little bit more now, since we're on, even though we're taping Wednesday, we're still on our regular Monday. So what we're talking about is First Thursday coming up this Thursday, which is Second Thursday. But it didn't happen last Thursday, which was First Thursday.
Does anybody actually understand that? Yeah. That's exactly right.
Okay.
So basically, the Thursday after you hear this.
Right.
And there's going to be some great shows. There'll be John Pevens, Show Lewd, Henry Turner's Ancestral Remnants, Drew Gentle's Personnel 2009-2011, Lisa Jo Outlaw's Would You Be Mine, which is featuring lots of puns on wood names.
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm going to make a plug for something that's going to go on not just this month, but throughout the semester and really is throughout the year. And that is the fact that you can go so many nights of the year to the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall in the University of Arkansas. It's in the Fine Arts Center, and hear music for free. guest artists, students, faculty, recitals. Almost all of them are free. Just this month alone, there is a joint faculty trombone recital. There's a string quartet on the 11th, the 16th, another guest artist. All of these free. The UA Tuba Euphonium Studio Recital is free on the 17th. You can go to the music department's website. And I would say 90% of what they do in that hall is free, and it's great music.
Awesome.
Cheap date.
Cultural enrichment for free.
Exactly. And so we hope that next Monday you'll be back in the studio and that the streets will be cleared and temperatures will be out of the teens.
Absolutely.
Christopher Spencer is the publisher and editor of OzarksUnbound.com, a website devoted to news and culture in Northwest Arkansas.